Please be seated. The Apostle Paul, writing in his second letter to the Corinthians, said, "Five times I have received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. Three times I was shipwrecked. For in a night and a day I was adrift at sea. Frequent dangers from Gentiles and my own people." He talks about having a thorn in the flesh. And yet, Paul never once had to preach in a pulpit surrounded by flowers when he was suffering from hay fever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may the words I speak be filled with your Spirit. May our words point to your living word, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. They say that when a musician or an artist or anyone in any kind of creative industry starts to create something, an album perhaps, that is about the creation of that album, that they're finished creatively. But when an artist turns their back and turns to themselves, it's seen as a sign that their creativity is running dry. And it's true. Normally, when I'm running out of ideas, that is the time that I think to myself that a good way into a talk is to talk about that process of writing a talk. So it's with a heavy dose of self-awareness and a certain smidgen of irony this morning that I want to invite you behind the curtain of my sermon preparation today. Now, there's normally a couple of things that I want to think about when I'm preparing a talk. Firstly, what's the Bible passage? What does it communicate to its original recipients, and what does it speak to us today? Secondly, I want to look at the world around us, the wider world and our local community, and what is there in that world that we as a community here need to respond to or be aware of? And thirdly, I like to think that there's a question that we need to ask. What is God saying to us here today at this moment of history for us to respond to? And so with those three areas in mind, there's actually a wealth of material here today to unpack. Our Bible passages, we've got God's wonderful and powerful words of challenge to Job. Job, did you ever, have you ever, those wonderful words of, well, I always read them with a smile on my face because I feel that that's how they were intended to be delivered. Job, can you do this? Have you ever done that? And our reading from Mark's Gospel today, the story of Jesus calming the storm. There's tons of stuff in that to think about and reflect on. And what about the world around us? Look at the wider world. It is impossible to ignore the heinous attack this week in America, the racist attack that led to the death of people in their church. The fact that we see in our world around us brokenness. We see countries on the brink of war. We look closer to home. We see today's Father's Day, and we look at the church around us, and we see that it is filled with amazing and glorious flower displays. For the last week, the church has been having its flower festival, and all of these things should be stuff that give us pause to think and reflect. And what then does God want to say to us today? Well, I'll come back to that one, if I may. Now, the account of Jesus calming the storm is one of those very familiar passages. It's possibly one that you are aware of, perhaps growing up. You might have heard it in Sunday school or in an assembly. Perhaps you're just familiar with it from cultural awareness. There is this story of a man who calmed the storm. And perhaps you've heard the teaching point that emerges from it, that Jesus can calm the storms of our life, which is absolutely true and wonderful and important. But I'd like to invite us to delve a little bit deeper this morning. I'd like to take you back, in fact, to the very beginning of creation. If we look at the story of creation as it's in the Bible, the poem, this wonderful Middle Eastern creation poem, of symmetry and order, of how God brings things out and affirms it, of how God deliberately intends to make things and says and recognizes that it is good. It's a wonderful, wonderful account of creation that fills us with hope and direction. But I'd like to contrast it, if I may, with other Middle Eastern, contemporary Middle Eastern creation narratives. I'm sure, of course, you're all familiar with a whole host of those, but I'd like to recap a couple of them for you, if I may. The Babylonian creation narrative, the Enuma Elish, as it's called, talks about a battle between gods, out of which, in the destruction and the chaos, out of which the world existence reality is formed as a byproduct. Canaanite creation narratives involve a god fighting a sea serpent, a chaos monster, if you will. And out of that battle, creation comes into being, out of the side effects of that battle. Various Egyptian creation stories, the world emerges again out of chaos. It's a byproduct of other things happening. It's a leftover. Humanity, existence itself, it seems, is an accident. But we compare that to what we see in the Bible, and we see something very different happening. And actually, in our gospel account this morning, we have got a deliberate, intentional nod towards that. See, for the people of Israel, the sea represented their entire western boundary of their known world, if you like. The Mediterranean was as far as their world extended, to the west. And out of the west, out of the Mediterranean, came the sea people, the violent invaders who would sweep through the country, bringing destruction and death. In the sea, when you're out on the sea, there were storms, there was chaos, there was things that you couldn't control. Even on the Sea of Galilee, a smaller, tamer piece of water, was still renowned for its sudden and surprising storms that came seemingly out of nowhere. So the sea and storms took on a meaning, took on a significance in Jewish culture and society. It was a much bigger problem than simply getting wet. It represented the forces of chaos, of destruction, of damage. And so when Jesus, who is asleep, by the way, how cool is that in the event of a storm? When Jesus is woken up and says, "Peace, be still," and the waves die down and the storm stops, he's not simply making the rest of the journey slightly easier to bear. He's actually acting out, enacting in their very presence of his disciples, this battle between God, who brings order out of chaos, who brings good out of bad, who brings life out of death, versus the chaos monsters, the fears, the unknown. Jesus is not simply making it dry. He's saying, "I am God, and I have dominion and sovereignty over all the forces that you are scared of, over all of the things of the unknown that you worry about. Our God is like no other God. He made us in his image." It says that in Genesis, in this wonderful, glorious, beautiful poem of creation. He made us, you, me, in his image. And this is where things tie together. Because God made us in his image, it doesn't mean he made us to look like him. It means that he put in us, in our characters, in our personalities, in our drives, similar things to his own. He put in us things that we would recognize in him. And one of those things I'd like to suggest is this gift of creativity. God made the world, and he made it good, and he deliberately did it. He brought good out of bad. He brought order out of chaos. And he invites us to do that same thing, to take those gifts that he's given us and to make things, to create things, to speak words of life into situations of despair. We've all got different gifts. That looks radically different in each one of us. You look around the church today, you can see these glorious and beautiful flower displays. I've been in the church during this week and I've been wandering around looking at these flowers and absolutely amazed, because I know that I couldn't take shrubbery and flowers and bouquets and turn them into something even more beautiful. I know that I haven't got that skill set. But God has given people that skill. He has given people that gift, that art of creativity. He's given me different things, different skills, I hope. And he's given you, each one of you, gifts and skills and creativity. And he invites you to respond, to bring out of chaos, to bring out of the disorder of life, to bring out of situations of despair and destruction, to bring out of places of darkness. He invites you to join with him in bringing life and hope and goodness and creativity. And this is what I think God is wanting to challenge all of us here today with. Celebrate your creativity. Be the person that God calls you to be. Be the most you that you can be. Be the most Guy that you can be. Be the most Matt that you can. Be the most Maureen, the most Jock, the most Jimmy, the most Jane, the most you. Be all that you can be. Because you are set free from sin by Jesus and birthed into something new. And you're invited to participate. You're blessed so that you can bless others. Use your gifts, your skills, that creativity in you to bring life. Whether that's in youth work or children's work, whether that's in flower arranging, whether it's as part of the choir, whether it's in music or painting or administration or bringing people together or whatever it is that is in you, that's your space for creativity. You're not subject to the whims of chaos, because God has defeated all of that. God has a purpose, and he has a purpose for you. Find it. Find it, center it on Jesus, and be all that you can be. And so my prayer for us today is this: God, may we be who you call us to be. May we be set free and welcomed into your family. May we be creative. May we be excited each day by the prospect of what we're going to experience in our world. And may God, you set us free from chaos and bring us into your ordered, wonderful creation. Amen.